Now, Titus chapter 2, let's pray. Father, we need you, Holy Spirit of God. I pray that you'd move in our midst, Lord. We need this truth. Father, our families are out of line in many cases. Our churches are out of line. Our country is out of line. Dear God, help us to return to that biblical family model that you placed for the home, that model for the church, so it'll affect our country and affect our world. Help us, Lord, to look to you and you alone for the truth. Lord, help us to not only look to you for the truth, but receive the truth, accept it, and live by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Titus chapter 2, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine. That's very interesting, isn't it? This is not a choice. This is not up for you to interpret. This is sound doctrine. Amen? I like how he starts, the Holy Ghost knows how to write it. Amen? But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. Now, the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. Now, we talked about some of these in the weeks past. To be discreet, chaste, I covered all of these in another sermon. That was the Biblical Lady Part 4, the mature Christian lady and what she's to teach and what she is to be. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Wow. What powerful words there. To follow this sound doctrine and this order for the local church and for the family structure, for the aged women to teach the younger women. Amen? That this is the ministry that God has given them that are elder in the faith, the ladies in the church. This is their ministry. It's also the ministry of a mother to her daughter. Amen? To teach them. What a concept. Yes, you have children to raise them, like we'll talk about tonight. To raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. To train them. Amen? If they just grow up, they grow up wild. They're to be raised. They're to be trained. God has a perfect order. And it doesn't have to be in the case of this convention or this meeting over here or this situation over there or that situation over there. You know what? God had the perfect design for His local church. Amen? He had the perfect design for the men. He said for the men that Timothy was to train, to ordain elders in every city. That Timothy was supposed to commit the same to faithful men who were able to train others also. Oh, isn't that something? He had a gospel training method. He had a preaching training method right there in the local church that was to take place. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that something? And then he also said for the ladies, well, what's the ladies going to do? Well, he said the elder women to teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. This is God's order for the lady. This is God's order for the elder lady to teach the younger lady. This was God's plan. Guess what's not included in this plan? Guess what you don't see in this plan? Cover your ears, you might get mad. Guess what you don't see? Me shipping off my daughter to college to have them biblically be trained by a Bible college. Now, I know that might not set well, but if you can show me in there where it's at, I just want you to show it to me. Not your emotions. I understand everybody has emotions. I understand that. Everybody has sentimental things that they hold sentimental in their life. I understand all that too. But show me in the Scripture where that's God's design. Show me in the Scripture where I'm not to have my eye on my daughter and I'm just to send her away. And you know what's really sad? The Reformed guys are cooking our lunch on this. That's really sad because we're the ones that are holding the truth. We have the dissent from the apostles. Isn't that something? And I don't like the Reformed movement at all. I'm so Baptist, it's sick. But I'm just telling you, I am. I'm so Baptist, it'll make you sick. I'm looking for my Baptist decoder ring pretty soon. I'm just telling you. Amen? You understand that. You know. You've heard me preach. You know the doctrine that I preach. But what I'm saying is that they're doing it right and we're doing it according to things that, philosophies and traditions of men that we've learned in the last couple of years, last 50 to 100 years. Now you see where the corruption has come in that model. That does not say that no good has come from that. Do you understand that? There's a difference in saying, well, no good has ever come from that. No, I didn't say that. I said it's not God's design. This is God's design. How are they going to be prepared for career? I didn't know that was what I was supposed to do as a father and a mother. A father was supposed to prepare them. I thought they were to be prepared to be wives. Come on. This is real popular. Listen, we've been studying the home, the role of the father and the mother and the family and the order of the sexes that God Almighty has laid. You see how this has all come together? And by the way, this is not all my perfect plan or anything, so I just want you to understand that. This is the way God has led me. This is God has pushed me and led me into this. This is not all I had this whole plan about from the beginning. No, I can't say that. I won't say that. God has led me through this. And when it comes to the issue of studying feminism, when it comes to the family and the home and everything else, because I have seen and God has revealed to me how vitally important it really is, how it's the foundation, amen, of society and the strength of your church, amen. We've looked at some of these in the last couple of weeks here. We looked at this in the Biblical Lady Part 4, that that the women are to teach the older women, teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands. You teach them to love their husbands. When you talk to ladies, older ladies, when you're elder in the faith, you teach them to love their husbands. You don't have a bash session when they come to talk to you about their husband. You teach them to love their husbands, to love their children, to nurture their children. That should be the counsel that comes from the local church. That should be the counsel that comes from the pastor. It should be the counsel that comes from the elder women. Is for them to love their children, to love their husband. That's God's order. That's God's design. But you don't understand, Pastor, in this day and age we have such complications. And we have to develop these systems in order to handle these. Yeah, it's called the eternal word of God. It's already there. Why don't you just stop trying to invent something and use what God has already placed there? Look what all your inventions have done so far. Amen. Human inventions and tampering with God's word and playing around with God's order. Look what it's done. Look at the chaos it's caused. Look at how most homes are because of it. Amen. Now, first of all, here as we go on, we understand they teach the young women to be sober. We said that to be discreet, chaste, to be modest. Yeah, be careful, wise with your words. Careful, not looking for the limelight. There's nothing worse than a lady that wants to be in the spotlight. I've seen them sing in churches when they want to be in the spotlight. And they look like those ladies that sing and those men that sing at the Star Spangled Banner. They sing, and they go into this big long thing and they get their faces all long and they're just up there. And they're like entertaining in the church house is what they're doing. And they get that long face and they get it's like you're acting in a play or something. Excuse me, because then I see that same person that doesn't, their testimony doesn't match that song that they're singing when they go out and you see them out among everybody else. Their life is completely different. Anyway, but understand that's to be discreet, chaste. And then now we come to keepers at home. The mature lady will teach the younger lady that she's to be a keeper at home. What does that mean, that keeper? Well, we'll look at a few different definitions of that as far as understanding or applications for that. One who has the care, custody, or superintendence of anything means it's a keeper. That's a keeper. One who has the care, we talk about an innkeeper, right? Amen. Talk about an innkeeper. The superintendence of anything. One could rightfully say she is the guardian of the home. Do you understand that? That the lady, the wife, is the guardian of that home? She really is. Now, you understand who the might and the muscle of the home is. I didn't say that, but Dad is out working. Amen? Mom is there, and she is the guardian of that home. She is the guardian. She is the gatekeeper. Amen? Amen. She's the watcher. She's the keeper of the home. Both means that she will stay in the place that God Almighty has given her. The rightful place of loving her husband and loving her children. When Paul is first addressing, what Paul is first addressing is the fact that she will not be gadding about all the day long, and her feet will abide in her home and not be a busybody. A lot of ladies, you will see that they will be out running around and being busybodies all day into every man's affairs, passing gossip along to everywhere they see, talking it, bringing it from house to house, talking about everything that's going on in everybody's home and what this person's doing, what that person's doing, how that affects that person, how that affects that, and just bringing that gossip all around. Whether it's speaking the gossip or it's receiving the gossip, that's what is being done. And that's what a lady that's not a keeper at home is, and that's why the mature woman is supposed to teach that young woman, you need to stay at home. Amen. 1 Timothy 5:11, but the younger widows refuse. For when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith, and withal they learn to be idle. Listen, 1 Timothy 5:13, and withal they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but tattlers, and also busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. That's the danger. That's why she's to be productive in her home and doing something and being productive and raising those children, not just letting them grow up. Amen. That is an active, important, proactive, moving, constantly dealing, teaching, training, not a lazy physician. Amen. But they're tattlers also and busybodies, speaking things which they ought not. They listen to things they should not listen to and are never home but wandering. And folks, that still goes on today, by the way. Whether that's over the internet or whatever that is, that's still the same thing. You could be home but not be home. Amen? They are gossips and stir up trouble and nose into other people's affairs. I've seen that. You know, a lot of the problems in churches are women. Women. I mean, in some church, you go to some nurseries, and boy, you'll hear all kinds of gossip. Amen? They're gossips. They stir up trouble and nose into others. Perhaps they're married children's homes they go to. Some mother-in-laws are like that. Some father-in-laws are, well, not so much father-in-laws, but mother-in-laws are like that. Going over and seeing what their kids are doing, and then nosing into that family's business. That doesn't mean visiting is wrong. You understand? I didn't say visiting was wrong. I said nosing in and imposing myself into a position that I have no authority to be in. Usurping that father's authority and that mother and that father's order that they've laid down in that house by inserting myself into a situation I have no right to be in. Hey, Ben? What is that? Well, that's a busybody. Well, I want my son and my daughter to have a good life. Well, if you do, leave them alone then. You're being a busybody. And sometimes, men, you've got to just stand up and say, it's none of your business. You need to back out. Right. Now, it'd be nice if the lady would do it so the husband wouldn't have to. Man. I mean, when it's her mother. It'd be nice if she did it. It really would be a little bit simpler. Amen? But if she doesn't, I have no problem with doing it. I don't. Amen? I've done it. Amen? Some ladies cannot stay at home. They must be out everywhere wandering around. They cannot be content to be a wife and a mother. And that elder in the faith, that lady, that mature Christian lady, needs to tell, you know what, you need to be at home. You need to be taking care of your home affairs. You need to be staying home. You don't need to be running around all the time. Amen? That's why I like homeschool. Amen? It's one of the reasons. One of the reasons why homeschool is a good thing. That's the way God intended it to be, I believe. Amen? I don't care what society told you. Society will tell you a lot of things if you listen. I'm just saying the history and nature of it was a lady trained her children. And so did a father, of course, but a lady trained her children. Amen? 1 Timothy 5:14, I will therefore the younger women marry, bear children. But that bearing children interrupts your career. Bear children, guide the house. See that? Guide the house. Give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Who's the adversary? The devil. Give none occasion. What's he saying? Well, the same thing that he said over in Titus, really. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Same thing. We'll get to that later. But he says here, to give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. I would. His teaching is consistent in the pastoral epistles. Is it any wonder that this is in the pastoral epistles? He's saying, preacher, this is the order that should be followed. Why? Well, he gives the reason. That thou may know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. We kind of forgot about all that, didn't we? That order in between there. But that was so that this is the house of God, the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. And if all these things are ignored, then guess what? Where's the pillar and the ground of the truth at? A little shaky. Amen? But then I can't have my Christian school and I can't have my big ministries and I can't have all the money coming in from two income families. Now that could upset somebody too. And no doubt it probably will when it goes online. But that's fine. Because that's true. Yeah. Now again, I'm not making decisions for your family. Amen? That's not my job. I'm not the guy that's going to come snooping around and finding out what you're doing. That's not my job. I preach the Bible. I preach the truth. What you do with it is your responsibility, and you'll answer Dad for your family, and Mom, you'll answer for your family. But I will be blameless because I have preached the truth to you. Amen? Do you know what liberty that gives me? That I'm not the principal enforcer. That's the Holy Ghost. Amen? I'm not here to nose into your family's business. I'm here to pastor you, and that's not me controlling you. There's a difference. Big difference. He says, mature lady, teach the younger ones to stay at home. Isn't that the opposite of today? Are we not teaching them to be career-minded and you have to go to Bible school for at least a year and God might be calling you to the ministry, lady? You know, it's a funny little... I always have to go back to this right here. And this is what makes all my brethren love me. But as I go back to this right here, could you please show me that? Could you please show me where God called a lady to the ministry? It's not there, is it? Well, where does God call a lady to? A man. 1st her father, then her husband. Amen? You know, it's the difference in society. It's the difference in a Hebrew mindset of the family, a covenant of a family that comes together and is covenanted together to raise and to nurture their children, and a Greek mindset of philosophy and just give your kids over to the state, hand them over to college. Listen, I know it all sounds radical, but boy, when you start studying history, it's not very radical. It's just really biblical. When you find out that we've kind of been duped in the last 150 years, That'll really, you know the first thing when I've showed people Baptist history and they've studied their history, you know the first thing they say to me? I was so mad I wanted to scream. Oh yeah, why? Well, because I've been told a lie! I've been taught a lie! For years I've been taught a lie! I've not been told any of this stuff! Where was the preaching at that told me all these things? But some mean guy in Northfield had to tell you. Yeah? It's because he's weird. God has designed it so a lady always has a covering. Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, and he shall rule over thee, and it never has changed all the way through life. We are teaching ladies not to be wives and keepers at home, but to be presidents and congresswomen and politicians and to prepare them for ministry. Listen, my wife does not need preparation for the ministry in the sense that education has taught. She needed to learn how to be my wife. Amen? Do you understand that? Why? Because she's not an assistant pastor, that's why. And I don't believe in those either. So we don't have those around here because I don't see that in the Bible either. So those I don't have those either. I don't have a staff either because I'm not a corporation. But so I don't have any of those either. It's a local church. Like I said, if there's any staff, it wouldn't be called a staff. It's called church members that serve the Lord for the Lord in the local body, in the assembly, and they do the things necessary for the church. Amen? Amen. Hate to get too New Testament on you here, but that's God's order. Boy, when you keep it simple, it does put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, doesn't it? It really does. Amen? We've been disobeying God's commands for a century now directly, and that is why our families are so messed up. We haven't been training them to be keepers at home. We've been training them to be competing in corporate America. That's what we've trained them for. That's what we've done. Now here, and listen, again, I'm not telling you what to do with your family. I'm not. I'll advise you from the scriptures and show you what's right, but that's the funny thing. I can't, right and wrong, you have to decide whether you're to choose you this day whom you will serve. That's not my choice to make for you. Amen? It's yours. But I'll tell you one thing. I got to think, I'm thinking about everything. I'm just going through everything, thinking about everything. Going back and reading the Bible and looking at some history and everything. And I thought to myself, somebody said to me, well, you know, your kid gets 16, your daughter, you're going to send her to work? No. No. Why? Well, what for? Well, what's the reason? Why would I? Well, she's got to learn. Learn what? According to human reasoning? As far as I'm concerned, she can stay with me until she's 40. Now, that may not sit well with some of you, but I don't really care because it's my house. It don't have to sit well with you. You do what you want to in your house, and I'll do what I do in mine. Amen? I won't come to your house and tell you you got to kick your daughter out, and you don't tell me you have to kick mine out. Amen? But I got to thinking about why. Why would I send her to work? Why? For what reason? That doesn't mean I don't teach her and train her things that she needs to know to run a household, that her mother doesn't teach her and train her how to do business and conduct things and understand how to deal with things. You're still preparing her for life. Understand the difference there. But I'm also teaching her a mindset, you're a keeper at home. You will have a family. You'll be raised to be a wife. Because that's God's order. Esther, you just have too simple of a look at the scriptures. Yeah, I kind of like that. I do. I do have that simple look at the scriptures. It's just a simple look. But you know what? I'd rather work three jobs. And let me explain something. You see, I wasn't always saved. You know, like many of you, the other day you got saved. Amen. Why today I got saved too? Just what happened to be when I was 25 years old, and I lived like the rot gut devil my whole life before that. And see, I just know what happens when you send 16-year-old girls to work when they had to be around perverts like I was. So I don't have to kill somebody. I'll keep her at home. Just being honest. Don't tell me, husband, you wouldn't do the same thing. Father, you wouldn't do the same thing. I could tell you stories about my wife explaining to me when she was 17, 18 years old and went to work at a place, at a restaurant or something, and how she was approached by a man. In the manner in which she was approached by a man, and nothing happened, but he tried. He thought he was going to try anyway. I wasn't around because he'd have been swimming in the French fry grease. But we'd have had a big old French fry cooking there. But that would have been a supersized fry right there. I'm telling you. Hey, listen, I didn't check my manhood at the door when I got saved. I want you to understand that. Come on. So, just how it is. I didn't grow up like that. How can you be training the younger to love their husbands and their children and not be keepers at home? When their focus is not... See, we don't understand. That's the focus of a lady. I can't be a mother to my children. I don't have nice enough hair for that. I can't. You laugh too much at that, brother. But we've told our daughters to be career-minded and not train them for a husband according to the Scriptures. We've mixed in human philosophy of college, and in it we have not followed the biblical model of raising them to be a wife. You know why we're having so many problems today in marriages and counseling and divorce rates and everything else? You know why? This is it right here. You have ladies that were sent off and said, now, listen, you're supposed to be in subjection to a husband, but go over there and do this. But we told them to leave the subjection to their father, which was their covering, so they went years without a covering, and then now they have a covering when they get married, and they don't know how to handle it. Because they've been led to be independent for so long. So whose fault is it? It's the church's fault. Amen. May sound radical, but boy, if the Bible sounds that radical to God's people, I'm in trouble. Because it's all Bible. You can't get anything else out of this, what I'm reading here. Nothing else out of this. This is just plain, straight Bible. It used to be that fathers were jealous over their daughters. Do you understand me? They were jealous over them. Amen? Now you see most fathers, they allow their daughters, and I'm talking about independent fundamentals. They allow their daughters to go out and do everything, go out and run around and do this, go out and run around and do that, go out and do, here's the car, here's the keys. No. No. No, not here's the car, here's the keys when they're teenage. No. 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 I'm not saying her and her brother may not go somewhere when they get older. But I let my son have free reign to do whatever he wants to do either. That isn't biblical either. Amen? But you're raising him to be a man and to take care of his sister. Amen? And to take care of a lady someday and to respect his mother. Of course, if mom's gone, then none of those things get taught, though. If mom's not in the home ever and she's out career-minded and she's not in the home, you say, I have too much debt. Well, get rid of your debt then. Amen? Looks like dad's working overtime. Right? Amen. Because I know men that will do that. They will sacrifice to make sure that lady doesn't leave the home. Amen? And if it has to be done, it has to be done. We just learn from our mistakes. Amen? Or whatever position we're in. Sometimes it's not a mistake. It's the place that we're at that time. Things happen, lose a job, whatever the case may be. It can spiral fast, out of control. Amen? They're being prepared. Women today, they've not been taught to be in subjection to their fathers because one day you'll be in subjection to your husband. That's not being taught. Have you ever noticed something? I want you to look at something. I want you to really look at this. In the average church today, and I mean, I've never a member of a Lutheran church. I've only been a member of an independent fundamental Baptist church. Now, this is a historical Baptist church. It's not a fundamental Baptist church. But I've never been a member of any other church besides an IFB church, okay? And you want to know something? I never hear the Father talked about in those churches. Ever. Never hear the Father's role talked about. Never hear the Father, who is made in the image of God, and His design, His patriarchal design that God has given. Never heard that talked about. Never heard that the fathers lifted up in front of the eyes of their children in the sense that this is the respect, this is the honor he should receive, this is the leadership that should take. You never hear that. You just don't hear that. Because they're too busy having gummy worm Sunday and we got to preach the gospel every service. That's what has to be done. Every service has to be the gospel. Because the Holy Ghost can't save somebody with this sermon. Oh my, no! He couldn't use any type of sermon like this to save somebody. Man, I'm telling you what, I've had people get saved. I was talking about a worm and she got saved. I wasn't even talking about eternal life. She came forward one day at our house when we got home and she said, "You know what, there's something wrong with me." I wasn't even preaching the gospel at all. Now, I'm not saying you don't preach the gospel. What I'm saying is, who says it's gospel on Sunday morning, exhortation Sunday night, and teaching on Wednesday? Who says? Who cares who said that? It's not in the Bible. But that's why nobody gets... listen. If you go to the average church, and you know I'm not lying, and you that preach the Bible, you know what I'm talking about. You go to the average church, remember that? You guys have a better education in the Bible since you have been here, some of you have studied on your own, since you have been here than you have ever gotten in many churches. You get more Bible and more understanding and more breaking down of Scripture. When I go, you try to talk to somebody about doctrine at any one of these IFB churches, go try to talk to them and ask them about doctrine, see what they say. But you ask them, I just heard a good sermon. What was it about? What was so good about the sermon? Oh, he told a funny story in it. He had a cute title. He has all these, you know, antics that he does. Or is he trying out for Hollywood or what? Wonderful. Is he acting or what? But plain Bible, plain teaching. You ask him about baptism, not a clue. Oh, you just get saved and you get dunked and that's why. You just do that. Oh, really? Well, what does baptism mean? Oh, I don't know. You just do it after you get saved. Come on. Why? Because they're not teaching the Bible. We've gotten completely away from it. God's design works, folks. But we, from our man-made philosophies, have decided that we will send our young ladies off and not marry them off and train them to be wise. We'll not do that. We'll follow a different order. We'll follow the modern trend. Preacher, that sounds old-fashioned. Like I told you earlier, yeah, it does. So does eternal security, salvation by grace through faith, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine of baptism, and many other Bible truths that we hold to today. But you know what? Let me tell you what happens when a lady is not trained to be a keeper at home. Dinah was not a keeper at home, was she? She wasn't trained right. Jacob's wild years, remember? She wasn't trained right. What happened to her? Well, in Genesis chapter 34 and verse 1 through 3, it covers that. It talks about how Dinah went out to see the other girls of the land, the other ladies of the land. She wanted to look and see what the other crowd was doing. You know what that sounds a lot like? The design of our churches today. You know, we have this college. The world has this university, so we'll just call ours Christian College, and we'll just send them there. So what we've done is we tried to Christianize paganism. Now, not all college is paganism. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that for a lady, it's not God's order. It's not God's design. So I met my husband in college. That's great. I have nothing against that. I didn't say good things don't happen. I didn't say that. Amen? I didn't say that at all. But there's an order. Satan can't wait to get a lady out of the home and away from the protection of her husband, or a young lady from the protection of her father. Can't wait for it. That's why a guy always worries about a slimy, a husband always worries about a slimy guy coming along to meet his daughter. God's designed that. You should stay with your father as long as possible. Amen? Until you're married, he's a protector that God's placed in your life. A keeper at home means she is a caretaker of the home as well, the manager of the affairs of the home. Seeing that the children are well taken care of and that her husband is well taken care of with food and raiment, she takes great care to make sure the home is ran decent and in order, not disorderly and chaotic. You know why homes are crazy? Because a lot of times ladies aren't keepers at home and there is no home. It's just a house. Amen? She takes great care to make sure the home is ran right. She is the guardian of the home, the spirit of the home, to make sure that it's a sweet, obedient, joyful home to come to. She's keeping it through love for the God-given place that He's put her in. That's what a keeper at home does. The ancient people would use the tortoise as a symbol of a godly wife. Did you know that? They would use that symbol. Amen? The shell being the home and the head just poking out to do what must be done and going back inside when the work is finished. Amen? That's what the Jews used. That was their symbol of a good wife. They said it was like a tortoise. She poked her head out to do the things that must be done. And then when they were done, she went back inside the home. Amen? You see, that sounds like a barefoot and with child type teaching. No, it's actually women being restored to the glorious position God created her for. It's actually a beautiful thing. She was made for the man, not the other way around. She was given attributes that a man does not have. Don't you see that she completes a man? She makes him perfect, complete. She makes the home perfect and complete. Amen? I can prove it to you. Take mom out. That's used to, when a family's used to be mom, and have mom go away for like 2 days or something. Watch what happens to the house. Watch what happens to everything, the structure of the home, everything. Or just watch dad when moms go for a time out or something like that, or a meeting or something like that, and moms are out visiting or whatever with other moms or something, and you have the children, and watch what happens in the house. It's just like you have little kids running around and everything like that. And watch what they do, old man. Why? Because mom provides the order. You know, it's interesting. I'll go back to this. I was watching this mindset, how things have changed so much. I was watching an old episode of Andy Griffith. And when I watched that episode, I seen this. Here's Aunt B, right? And here's Andy getting ready to go on this trip, right? And she's packing Andy all the food he needs. She's making sure he has, oh, you got to have this for lunch, you got to have this for lunch, you got this for lunch. She is, what is she doing? She is caring for him. She is taking care of him because that's what ladies do. Now, today, the lady most ladies be like, you do it yourself. Boy, the food's in the kitchen, go get it. You know where it's at. Go take care of yourself. You see the difference in the mindset? Or there was one episode where she was leaving the house for like 3 or 4 days. She's like, oh my, what are you guys going to do? You're going to die. She was looking at us and said, you're going to absolutely die. You're just going to die. You're not going to be able to eat. What am I going to do? I can't leave you guys. I can't leave you. Why? Now we think that's funny. And the reason why we think it's so funny, I mean, it is kind of, it's set in a comical setting, obviously. But we think it's so funny because it's so foreign to the way most homes are ran today. It does. It's so foreign. And it shouldn't be. That design never was supposed to change. Never. The mature Christian lady has a duty to teach the younger lady to guide the home, keep herself at home, to keep her out of trouble. Children need stability. When they know mom is there and dad will be home, it stabilizes and they will be more apt to listen and they can trust that mom is home. Folks, there's a difference in a child. You want to see a child that is very scared, nervous, no self-confidence, no strength, no ability to do anything, and feel like a failure. A lot of times it's because they have no stability in their parent. Their parents are not stable. Their mom is not there nurturing them. Amen. There's no nurturing of mom in the home. Mom's always gone. There's no strong family. And then you see the behavior of the children because of it. I mean, it's very clear. Now, all children disobey. I'm not saying that. But they grow so incomplete. And they have such problems that they grow up with. Husbands are in a better mood and able to deal with matters when they know their wife is caring for the affairs of the home while they're gone. A husband should be able to trust that he can come home to a clean, organized house. Keepers at home means caretaker of all that God has entrusted you with as well. Wife, do you understand that a keeper at home, do you understand what God has entrusted you with? The lives of your husband and your children. God has entrusted you with that sacred duty. That is not something that is light. That is not something that should be taken lightly. Why do you think they say not to enter into marriage lightly? Because that is a sacred trust. God has given you children. Lady, they came from your own womb. How much more sacred? How can we in this day and age, as Bible believers, believe that a lady can bring that child in the world and then pass it off to somebody else to raise? Why did He give her to you then? Why did He give the child to you and somebody else's to educate them and raise them? Why did He give them to you? Why? I know a lot of godly ladies that do daycare. I understand all that. I do. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying, that's not God's perfect design. No, this is God's perfect design. What I'm saying to you is that why would God bring forth a child from you? As you mothers hold these children in your laps right now, why would God give you that child if He wanted somebody else to take care of it? I mean, is that too common sense? Is that just too much? Why would He give that child to you if He wanted somebody else to take care of it? If He wanted somebody else to raise the child? If He wanted you to shirk the responsibility off to somebody else? Dad, He made you to be the provider. Amen? Come on! He made you to be the provider. Another thing about men. Men, you need to let your wife guide the home as well. Quit complaining about everything that they do. She needs your leadership, but she also needs a liberty within that to guide the home. That does not mean independent of you, but room to be allowed to do what God has called her to do as well. Amen? You married her. You better trust her. That doesn't mean you don't lead her, but you better trust her and allow her to handle the affairs that need to be handled, that God has placed her to handle. That doesn't mean you don't oversee. Don't let your wife feel like she's some kind of hired servant. Amen? God has said this is your domain. Your husband cannot be a wife and can't be a mother. You, lady, must fulfill this God-appointed role. Caring for the home, the children, your husband, the dwelling that God has given you. That's what's meant by a keeper at home. You're also teaching to be obedient to their own husbands. Lady, God never made you to be obedient or subject to all men. Do you understand that? That's the next major point that you must understand. But it says obedient to their own husbands. Do you understand that God's design was not for you to be submissive to every man? You weren't made to be submissive to the pastor. You're made to be submissive to your husband. Amen! Come on, man, wake up. I don't care what this so-and-so's manual said. Doesn't make any difference. It's what the Bible said. Amen. Amen? Your wife was made to be in subjection to you, not to another man. Your wife doesn't answer to the pastor. You do when it comes to issues of the family. I mean, not the family, but the church. You do. Amen? If your family, if there's discipline problems in the church and it is involved in the family, then the father. We go talk to the father. We don't go talk to the mother directly, the wife directly. Amen? Come on now. We don't do that. That's not biblical. We go talk to dad in private. Not in front of his family. In private. Amen? He first made a daughter to be subject to her father. As we look in the Old Testament, we see when a young lady is to marry, her father is supposed to be approached. Now this was the wrong way, and I won't get into this, but Exodus 22:17 says, if her father utterly refused to give her unto him, he shall pay money according to the dowry of virgins. Notice the father is involved there. That's what I want you to concentrate on right now. We'll teach on all that other stuff later. But this is the father is involved with marriage. Why? Because he's her covering, that's why. You don't get anywhere near that girl except through the father. Amen? Where do we get the idea from to go talk to the lady's father? We get it from Scripture. The Bible shows us that we go talk to the lady's father. Your father and your husband. This is the grace of God that you, lady, would not be in subject to every man that walks down the street. So he can point a finger at you and say, hey, you listen to me, lady. No! Only your husband. Or when you're in the home, as a young child, your father. As a child, your father. But when you're married, your husband, not to every other man. That's the grace and mercy of God. That's why ladies should be keepers at home. They're not meant to be in subjection to another man. In marriages, much problems can arise when a lady works for another man. Trouble can come from that. They can be submissive to a boss, but then come home and cannot submit to their husbands. This is not always the case, but it's very common. And many men have testified these things being so. It wrought confusion in the heart of a lady. She's paid to submit to a boss, and I've seen some bosses walk around calling Christian women honey and everything else. Yeah. I've also seen this in the fundamentalism and the rise of a staff for an office. We need a secretary, so we hire one and I put her in subjection to the pastor. No, we need a husband and a wife team in the church that works together to handle those affairs. Amen? Brother Jeremy and Sarah, they deal with those things if we need something. They help out and do this together. Amen? Amen. Why? Well, first of all, a husband knows what his wife can handle. Amen? I don't just call up a lady in the church and ask her to do a bunch of things for me. Unless it's my own wife. That's God's order. You know, I remember hearing Curtis Hudson. I remember hearing a story that he told. And it's okay, he's dead. He's in heaven, so he won't mind me telling it. But I remember him telling the story. And what he said in this story was, he said, yeah, I remember one time my secretary was over at my house. And her husband was over at my house. And it was time to serve coffee. And my secretary went in and she started serving me coffee. I told him, no, you serve your husband coffee. And he, you know, was explaining how biblical he was because of that. And I was thinking to myself, well, she should have never been in that position in the first place. You see, folks, a lady's meant to be. Why do you think a lot of romances happen at work like that? Why do you think that happens? They get around a boss. The boss treats them nice. When they get in a fight with their husband, they go to work. They start talking, oh, I'll listen to you. Sure, I'll listen to you. Sure you will, you sick puke. I'll listen to you. Oh, that mean husband. Folks, I'm not saying anything's not true. It happens all the time. You know why? You know, it can't happen if she's at home. In that sense. It can't happen if you don't leave God's biblical design and go outside of biblical authority and decide, in biblical order, decide you're going to do something that way. See, that story never would have took place with Curtis Hudson had there not been that situation. Then, is that too practical for you? The wife was too accustomed to be submitting to him and not to her own husband. And that makes me sick. You know, even before I studied this all out, I had determined that no way, that ain't happening. Long time ago. Nope. Nope. Amen. And lastly here, that the word of God be not blasphemed, and we're done. This is the purpose of the order being kept and the mature lady's duty to teach it. That the word of God be not blasphemed. Failures in such relative duties would be greatly to the reproach of Christianity. What are these the better for than this generation? What's this new religion for? See, what was happening at that time, these apostles, these ladies that were being saved and they had lost husbands, if they had kept a bad testimony and disobeyed their parents or disobeyed their husbands in the name of Jesus, then it was bringing reproach to Christianity. And Paul was saying, no! You don't have any biblical right to leave the order that God has set down in the Scripture just because you're saved. You have to follow the divine order that God placed all the way back in the garden. Because these Gentile women were like, well, he's not even saved. I don't have to follow him. And Paul was laying down this order. He said, no, you have to still submit and obey and follow the design that God has placed. That doesn't change. The infidels would say, what are these the better for with their new religion? Would the infidels be ready to say, the word of God and the gospel of Christ are pure, excellent, and glorious in themselves, and their excellency should be expressed and shown in the lives and conduct of their professors, especially in relative duties. Failures here brings disgrace. Brings reproach to the word of God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. It means to speak evil of, to utter abuse against, to speak reproachfully of the gospel, of the word of God. So Christian, what that says is when you and I don't follow God's order and God's design and our families aren't different, aren't peculiar, aren't different than the world, then we go along with the world. They say, what's the use? Your family, your divorce rate is 50% just like everybody else's is. What do you have that's so good? These young Christians' wives were causing men to speak reproachfully, and Paul was nailing this down. Is it not that way in our church today? Does the world not see the marriages the same, the wives the same, the husbands the same, and the children the same as the world? And then you hear Christians say, I don't want anyone thinking I'm weird or strange. Really, I do. Because if you follow biblical model of family, you're going to be weird and strange to people. Because it's peculiar to follow the Bible. It's different than this world of Antichrist. Folks, this world is Antichrist. You're not supposed to fit in and be chummy and comfortable. People are supposed to come here and not be comfortable. People are supposed to come here on Sunday and Wednesday and whatever the case may be, and they're supposed to be uncomfortable. You're supposed to be convicted and bothered when you leave here. You're supposed to be mad at me sometimes, I guess. I don't know. This verse is saying that you bring reproach to Christ in the name of Christ and he is blasphemed and the Bible is blasphemed and we leave the natural order of the lady being a keeper at home and training and loving her children and nurturing the home. And by the way, it's also saying that when the elder ladies don't teach the younger ladies this, the word of God is blasphemed because of it. That's all included in there. So how much of our church has dropped the ball in this area? How much have we fell in this area, that the word of God is blasphemed in our families, in our homes, in our churches because of what has taken place, because we've left God's order. It's God's order, folks. It should be obeyed. We're doing something about that here in this church. We're starting that website, the Keepers at Home, part of our website. And the Hildebrand family, they're going to work on that together. And Brother Russ will oversee it, and Candy will provide much biblical teaching and wisdom for ladies. And the young ladies, they'll add some other things with stories and poetry and some other things that God lays on their hearts to do. Why? Because we want to return to the biblical foundations of the Bible. We want our churches and our families to understand that, you know what, there are people out there that still believe this book. And there are plenty of churches out there that need to be educated on this. Remember that in Hebrews chapter 5 and Hebrews chapter 6. In Hebrews chapter 5, turn there and then we'll be done. I promise you, last verse, we'll be done. You all are getting hungry and you're looking at me. And you're going to storm the pulpit here. I better hurry up. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse number 12. You know why we need to do this? For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, and not of strong meat. Do you understand that this is all the milk? This is all simple. It's not the complex things. It's the return to the simple. The very basics. And when these basics are ignored like they have been, you have need that one teach you again. Because they're being ignored. And our families are in trouble because of it. Marriages are in trouble because wives don't really know what it means to submit to a husband. They don't really know what it means. Husbands don't know what it means to love their wives sacrificially like Christ loved the church and gave Himself for it. They think that just because they're the leaders that they can just bully over, run over, railroad over their wives, and that's being a leader. That's not being a leader. That's not sacrificing. That's not loving like Christ loved the church. Amen? Father, I pray that You'd please help us to grasp this truth. Lord, as we start this website, this web page here, Lord, and we get it out, I pray that it'd be a benefit to Your people. I pray, Lord, that ladies would understand the truths.